To Romans chapter 13. I mentioned to you on Sunday, I believe it was, that we're going to get into some controversial stuff tonight. And what I want to say is this. I don't want to come across like I'm having a controversial spirit. Everything I'm going to show you, can you please hear me on this? What I'm going to try to show you tonight is going to lead into a hot-button issue of the day that we're in. And it's an issue that I feel like needs to be addressed, and I haven't found the right timing. And it's more and more of a problem in our culture, and it needs to be addressed because these young people sitting around here, they need the whole truth. They don't just need a lopsided view of things that you get in this culture that you're living in. And so I'm gonna get on something tonight toward the end here, and I'm gonna show you some things and be pretty clear about it. And I'm not really worried about you getting mad at me, but I don't want you to get mad at me. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
I don't want you to get mad at me, but I ain't worried about you getting mad at me. We got a church where we're leading people to Christ. That means they're coming in here with all kinds of stuff in their background, all kinds of issues, all kinds of problems, all kinds of preconceived notions about everything. And to be honest with you, what's a really, 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 really big deal? A big deal is like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And it's not because they're like wicked. It's because it's like, I've never heard such strange doctrine.
Yeah.
I was raised this way.
Yeah.
So it's not going to get too controversial at first, although you'll see right out of the gate we're going to hit something that runs completely against the spirit of this entire age. And then when I get to the conclusion tonight, I'm going to give you some stuff that that I think you need to understand. What we're looking at is the government. And this is what this chapter is teaching you on as a Christian, how you're supposed to act and react and respond to the government. And what do you do as a Christian when the government goes against the Bible?
Yep.
Interesting. So start out in verse number 1 with me, if you would, please, and we'll get down through a few verses here, and then I'm going to introduce the subject that I believe needs to be taught on, and we'll wrap up for tonight, and then if you're too ticked off, I'll just get out of town. Like an evangelist, you just blow them up and then blow out of town, and all is good, amen? Romans chapter 13, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, for rulers are not a terror to evil work, to good works, but to the evil. What wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good." Look at that. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your words. God, I'm glad we got this guidebook to direct us through all the things of life. It's literally amazing, Lord, how there's not an issue, there's not a problem, there's not a question that arises that we can't get to the Bible and dig in a little bit and quiet our hearts and pray and seek your face and get an answer from. And so I pray tonight you'd help us as a church to know exactly what you teach on these things and help us to have the right response and the right attitude and the right heart towards you. Father, help the young people especially, and maybe some of the older people that might need it, to heed the word of caution that's going to be given to them tonight. And help us to be aware of the way our adversary, the devil, works and the things that he can easily and sneakily roll into our life. And Lord, maybe lead us down a path of destruction. And so give us the help we need tonight, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so it's already getting warm in here. If you guys need to crack the windows, please don't. Please just open them, okay? Go ahead and crack the window at will if you need to, okay? All right, Romans 13, verse 1. Notice, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. Powers that be are ordained of God. Notice, first of all, every soul. This is not just talking to saved people. You all missed him, didn't you? Okay, now are you back with me? All right. Every soul, right? That means God expects everybody in the culture, not just the saints, not just the church, to be subject to the authorities. You know what you live in a day and age of? An absolute hatred of authority. It is like, you know what, kids won't obey their parents. Wives, you mentioned submitting to your husband, and you'd think a preacher cussed when you say something like that. It's like, oh. No, I've had them literally do that while I'm preaching. And then it's like, Lord, help me not to, because then I want to just dig in and just let it rip. The Bible doesn't say, children, be obedient to your parents as long as they make you happy and they're always right. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Doesn't say obey your parents in the Lord if your parents are always doing right. You don't get to sit judgment on your mom and dad and decide whether or not you're going to do what they tell you to do. God said you're to be in submission to your parents. The problem in this culture is parents don't make their kids obey. Did you hear what I said? Make them obey. It's like, you know, you've seen it in the store, and I don't mean to, you know, dwell on it too much. It's not necessarily a subject for tonight, but you've seen them, you know, one, two, three. You know what you're telling that kid? You're telling that kid, I don't mean what I'm saying. I don't count. they learn real quick how to count to two, because number two always sticks out in their head. It's the second time I told you. You understand what I'm saying? You got to get on them early and often. You got to teach them early what authority is. Ladies, God doesn't tell you to submit to your husband only if he's more godly and spiritual than you are. We're having fun tonight, aren't we? Bible doesn't tell you to submit to your husband as long as you agree with him all the time, as long as he's smarter than you. You might be more godly than him. You might be smarter than him. He might be wrong, but God tells you, and I'm not saying spiritually wrong. I'm not saying he's saying, come on, honey, let's drink this liquor, and you have to do that. It says, as it is fit in the Lord. So he doesn't get to pull that card to get you to do wicked things that sins against God. But the Bible doesn't tell you to submit to him only if he's better than you. See, it's authority. I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow, isn't it? The Bible tells us, as far as Christians are concerned, that we're to submit to the government's authority. That doesn't mean if it's a government you like. This Bible was not written for Americans. I'm so sick and tired of the Christians and the preachers that get a United States of America view on every passage of Scripture. The Bible is written for people all around the world. What are you going to do if you're in communist China and you're a born-again Christian? You got the same word of God that we got here, and God's telling them something over there. What are you going to do if you're in Russia? God's telling them the same thing here. Bulgaria, I mean Haiti, they don't have a government to submit to. Now, you see what I'm talking about? You know what the problem down there is? It's authority. That's 100% the problem in Haiti. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. If they don't do what I want them to do, we'll burn it all down. And you got a real rebellious streak naturally in Americans. I mean, we were born out of rebellion. And we are, generally speaking, very rebellious people. I'll never forget sitting around the living room when we first started the church, and I had the church constitution and bylaws in front of me that I'd spent ridiculous amounts of time researching and talking to the attorneys and writing it up and all this jazz that we'd gone through. And as we're going over this thing, you know, the peanut gallery is sitting there, and, you know, they're going to weigh in on everything. They didn't do all the work, but they're there to grade it. You know what I mean? They never went through the class. They never got the degree, but they're definitely going to grade the work. You know what I'm talking about? And so he's sitting there like, well, I don't like this word authority. It said pastoral authority. He said, I don't like this word authority. I said, well, that ain't going to work. That thing doesn't say I have authority in your personal life. It talks about the church, the local church. You know what a lot of people don't like about a Bible-believing local church? They don't like pastoral authority. It's like you even run the churches nowadays by a democracy. Everything's up for a vote and committees and all the rest of that stuff. My church, first church, there was 20-something committees with about 30 people in the church. I had a 16-year-old boy on the flower committee. You think I'm kidding? She wanted to go put new flowers out. I'm like, no, that goes through the flower committee. And we had to have a meeting to talk about changing the flowers and what color they're going to be and whether or not we could get them and what they're going to cost in the budget. And I had a 16-year-old sitting there with as much authority in the committee meeting as anybody else, as the pastor. That's insanity. But that's how a lot of churches are run. You know what the problem with deacons are? The deacon board? They're too bored. Deacon boards, doing pastors' jobs. They don't understand what the Bible says. Our deacons aren't bored. I'm not shooting at these guys. I don't have a need to shoot at these guys. These guys are my right arm, man. They're a huge blessing to me. But a lot of churches run by the deacon board, you know, so that some old bat over there can get over to the guy she prefers, and the church all votes him in, you know, and then she can start working that angle, and this one's working that angle and the other angle, and there's no authority in the church. And that causes splits and splits and splits and splits and splits and power struggles and instability and insecurity because there's a lack of authority. You know what is wrong with our homes today? A lack of authority. Our homes need authority. You know what's going wrong in our nation very quickly? A lack of authority. Now the kids don't think they have to do what the cops tell them to do. And listen, I mean, you know, God bless the 80s. You know what I'm saying? The 70s. Back in the day, you know what the cops would do if you didn't do what he told you to do? They slam your head in the hood of the car. You learn real quick that when he says stop, I stop. When he says put your hands up, I put them up. Now it's like, oh my goodness, abuse. Like, no, he just killed somebody, man. You know, I realize there's some bad eggs out there. I'm not saying that all police officers are always perfect. I'll tell you this much, the very vast majority of them aren't bad eggs. Actually, they put their life on the line for some dirtbag and take a chance on getting shot themselves because they got to go through all the protocol where the other guy doesn't have to play fair. It's going crazy. You know why? Because we're not subject unto the powers. God tells you that you're supposed to be subject unto the powers, and he says this about them, there's no power but of God. That's a tough one. You got to stop and think sometimes. Wait a minute. The powers that be are ordained of God. So if I'm in communist China and I'm reading this verse, how am I supposed to take that? Give you a whole new perspective on your Bible, won't it? Oh, this country was founded on religious liberty. We're founded on biblical principles. If I have to hear that one more time, I'm going to vomit all over my pulpit. I'm so tired of hearing that. This country is founded on rebellion. And a lot of the founders of this country weren't even born again Christians. But we claim that they are. Because it suits our rebellious agenda. I am not anti-America. Don't get upset with me. I'm not unpatriotic. I don't want to come across that way. I don't appreciate people looking at me that way or thinking about me that way. I'm not at all unpatriotic. I've told you before, that's one of very few things that I believe I'd die for and fight for and put my life on the line for is my country. I'm glad I live in America. I am thankful for this country. By the way, I'm even thankful for the way our country has its government structured. Now, I'm not talking about whether or not I believe in democracy. I'm talking about on a local level for my life. I'm thankful for government. I'm not anti-America, but I'm just telling you, God isn't pro-America either. And I'm sick of the Christians that get that mindset. So what would you do with this verse if you were in communist China? Well, for whatever reason, God's allowed that power to be in place, and in God's eternal view, he's allowed the devil to have the authority to do things on this chessboard we call earth. And on the chessboard we call earth, Lucifer moves his pieces, and Almighty God sits back, and he told you in Job, he draws him out and plays with him. Can thou play with him? Can you mess around with him? Can you make him do what you want him to do and let it just kind of like manipulate him like I can? No, you can't. So for whatever reason, God allows that. For whatever reason, God's allowing all these Arab nations to pull together right now and the whole world right now to start really unifying against Israel like never before. He's God. And he's sitting back letting it happen. That's not God doing it. That's God giving Lucifer the leash to get it done. You follow me so far? So you got to remember, when it comes to looking at world governments, the powers that be are ordained of God, and Almighty God is moving those chess pieces in time. He was spreading the gospel throughout history. He's sending armies in to deal with and judge Israel, and in a response to their sin, and then judging them for messing with Israel. I'm talking about a chess game none of us can play. I'm talking about a chess game none of us can understand. I'm talking about a power that goes way beyond our minute comprehension. So we just have to know this: the powers that be are ordained to God, and subject yourself to the power. Obey the law. Now, you have the stupid speed limits. You know why? Because very intelligent people run statistics, and they see there's a lot of deaths on this particular road. And we're seeing too many deaths out here. Like your kid. You. What? Yeah, like your kid getting killed out there. And so they say, we need speed limits. And those are rules. And you're supposed to abide by those rules so that you can drive safely. As we're going up north, we pass a certain point and the speed limit goes up to 75. Anybody notice that?
Yeah.
And then the back roads out there are 65. I'm like, this is a blessing, man. You know why? Because they know there's not as much traffic, there's not as many crossroads, and statistically speaking, the government knows that if you do 65 there, you're likely to make it there alive. They don't want you doing 65 on 10 mile. You know why? Most of you should. You've almost been killed multiple times out here by somebody that doesn't want to slow down because you're turning into church. There's too many side roads. There's more that goes into this than what meets the eye. So we're supposed to obey the law. We're supposed to be subject to the powers. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. Okay, that just changed everything. I don't like the law. And they that resist shall receive to themselves what? It doesn't say to your soul damnation. See, it's just like baptism. Every time you see the word, it doesn't mean water. This doesn't mean eternal damnation. This means that if you don't obey the stop sign, you might wind up dead. Get it? You ran the stop sign, so you got T-bone, genius. You ran the red light, that's why you died. I don't know why the red lights are so long around here, because they study the traffic patterns. They know how to keep you safe. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. So what he's saying is this: if you're doing right, why are you worried about the law? You know what we did when we got this building? I had no desire to live in the parsonage. I've lived in a parsonage before, didn't want to ever live in a parsonage again, okay? That's not a shot at you. I just didn't want it. I wanted to go home. I don't like people knocking on my door, stopping by. I saw your cars and I wanted to I'm eating dinner. I'm in my wife beater. I'm mowing my grass. You know what I'm saying? Can you say wife beater nowadays, or is that offensive? I told you this was going to be controversial. I'm mowing my grass. You know what I mean? The girls go running, oh, I don't have my makeup on. They're running in the house hiding from you. I don't really do drop-bys. It's not cool with me. You know what I mean? So anyways, long story short, in Michigan, I didn't know this, but when we got the whole situation going, but in Michigan, if a pastor doesn't live in the parsonage, you got to pay property tax on that parsonage, but churches are tax exempt. So you know what we did? I can't believe that's ridiculous. We're a church. We're supposed to be tax exempt. We ain't paying them taxes. No. You know what we did? We called the county. We said, hey, we found out that this is the law. They said, this has never happened before. Nobody has ever contacted us and said, please let us pay our taxes. The assessor came out here and met me. He was very kind, very gracious, very complimentary, and just mind blown. I can't believe you guys would do this. I said, we want to do everything by the book as much as we know. A church shouldn't be a corporation. Well, it's the law. Right? You know what people do? People come in and they'll get sideways. And so what they'll do is they'll come up and they'll say, here, Rob, I'm going to put this in the box and I want it to go to my friend over there. And make sure you add that to my giving contribution for my tax write-off. You know what that is? Well, I mean, that could be money laundering. Yeah, that we don't do that stuff. Why? Because it's the law. That's why. Because we're supposed to be subject to the law. Those things are there. They're not a terror to good works. If you're doing right, you're not afraid of the IRS. Oh, the IRS, they're out to get you. I really don't think so. I highly doubt you're that big of a fish. Can't believe I owed money this year. You know, like, okay, well, I mean, how many years did you get money back that you didn't even pay in? Do you see what I'm saying? You guys, we get the wrong view towards government. I believe in paying your taxes. I believe in doing right all the time. I would rather err. I've paid for this. I've paid dearly for this. I've told my tax accountant, don't give me any gray areas. Give them to the government. That's cost me. But I feel like sleeping at night with a clean conscience and not having to worry about it is priceless. I feel like, you know, if I ever do get messed up, I want to know that it wasn't because I was lazy or because I was cheating or lying. It was out of honest innocence and I didn't know, and I'll make it right. I want my testimony to be right. Amen. So your relationship to the government is extremely important. And if you're doing right, you're not worried about the cop pulling you over. You got a dirty conscience or something? I don't like people that don't like cops. Now, some of you come from a rough background, so I understand that there's some changing that takes time to get there. Do you understand what I mean? I get it. Some of you got saved later in life and had some bad. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings or make you mad, but I'm trying to tell you God set up the authorities for a purpose. I'm thankful for them. I appreciate police officers. They're not my enemies. Most of them are super nice guys, and the ones that are a little bit arrogant or a little bit standoffish, it's because of a lot of things you don't know anything about. So I give them a break. They're not a terror to me. Do that which is good, and you'll have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. This is self-explanatory. I am thankful that they're there. My daughter, she doesn't know this. Oh, she's not here tonight. Good. She's house sitting off some back road way out there, you know, and I just creeped me out. And my neighbor across the street's a CO, and a friend of his is a cop that works the midnight shift. So I'm like, hey, man, and we go over there a few times and train some jiu-jitsu together and stuff. And I said, hey, I'll cruise by there. I'll make sure everything's all right. That's in my route. I'm out there sleeping, and he's making a few passes through there, making sure there's no dudes walking down the street in the middle of the night with flashlights, and nothing's going to happen out there. I know. I'm just saying. It's a blessing. I'm thankful for him. Yeah, we were doing a bunch of back through Pinckney there not long ago. A whole bunch, like 40 cars were getting broke into. They were looking for unlocked cars, by the way. But and then a couple of guys from Detroit came out, and just up the road from my house at the Dodge or whatever, they come in there and busted some windows and stole a car. Did you guys see that just a couple weeks ago? You sent me that, right? One guy rammed the gate and the other guy took off, and they got him, but they came all the way from Detroit, all the way out there in no man's land to rob the dealership. You know what's really nice? While all that stuff was going on and there was a rash of houses, of cars being broke into, they were looping my neighborhood 2 and 3 times a night. Thank you, Jesus. You know what God does? God sets that up. You know what pays those guys? Taxes. Oh, my taxes? Okay. I just changed my opinion. A few years ago, and it was probably just kids being smart, Alex, you know. But there was guys going through our neighborhood with nylons on their head ringing the doorbells at night. Don't know if they were looking for empty houses or people on vacation or whatnot. You know what's really nice? It's nice that I can make a phone call and those guys are right up the road with the lights gone on, and I wish they had better training. I wish they put more money into them. I wish they paid them more. I wouldn't even mind paying a little bit more in taxes if they'd give those guys a raise. They're grossly, grossly underpaid. They're a blessing, folks. He's a minister of God to thee for good. You know, what's nice is to know that if something's going on, I can hit 911 and a dispatcher will send somebody in an ambulance right to my house. I can't get my kid or my wife to the hospital quick enough, but somebody like Brother Berlucci will come strolling in there quickly but calmly while everybody else is panicking and freaking out, and they see it every day all the time, and they know what to do, and they de-escalate the situation. They calm me down. They stabilize your loved one. They put them in the ambulance. Sometimes you just want to hug those guys. You see them coming into the, sitting in the ER. We've been in a lot of hospitals lately, and you see them coming in the ER, and here they are, two or three of them, and somebody's crying or freaking out, and they're staying calm, and they're, you know, a lot of times they're real kind, real comforting. They're ministers, folks. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. That's why when you get stoned, you're peeking out the window every 2 seconds. You're freaking out every time you see a car. Why? Dirty conscience? What's wrong? He beareth not the sword in vain. Do you see that? You know what that is? That's capital punishment. That's a gun. You'd have a whole lot less people killing people. A whole lot less gun violence, a whole lot less cops getting hurt if people really believed the cop was going to shoot them if they tried it. Right. When he says, show me your hands, they're like, he'll do it. And it would save their lives. He beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God. He is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. See, the problem with a lot of people is they're sheltered. They've never been to somewhere like Haiti. I was there back when they had some kind of a government and some kind of police presence. And nobody listened to them. And everybody is doing drugs everywhere you go, publicly and privately. And it's just complete anarchy before we got where they're at now. I've been there where you pull up into the intersection and everybody else under the sun is at the same intersection because it's so jam-packed with people everywhere, and there's no codes. There's nobody saying, no, you have to tap into the septic and you have to have a fire suppression system. And that's why so many people died in the earthquake, because there wasn't somebody saying, no, we need a fire suppression system there so that people don't burn up. I can't believe they did that to us. No. We submit to them. We thank God for them. They're looking out for us. And we take into account what they say, and we do what they do, and we abide by the law because we're Christians. Because we realize they're a minister to us from God. They're not the enemy. I've seen it. I've seen the piles and piles of rubble from the earthquake because they build whatever they want to build, however they want to build it, and they're not sound, they're not safe, they're not secure. I didn't even like sleeping in the missionary's house because the ceiling, the roof is concrete, the walls are concrete, the floor is concrete. I was getting panic attacks in there. There's bars on every window, like in the concrete, bar. You can't just open the window. And then there's close the door, and you close the bars over the door, and you lock it down, and you lock down the gate, and you got glass on the top, and you got barbed wire in the concrete all the way around with glass sticking out of the... No authority. As there's no government. You pull up into the intersection, and it's just first come, first serve. And everybody's me first. I'm not kidding. Like, boom, boom, they're bumping into each other. You don't buy a new car. I'm not joking. This is for real. They're literally in the intersection. Honk, 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 honk. And there's no traffic lights. This light's taking so long. Just run it. Okay, you might die. Receive to yourself damnation because you're not obeying the rules. You see what we're talking about? It's actually a pretty good thing that we still live in America. In spite of the fact that our country is going downhill and going downhill fast and falling far away from God quick. Wherefore, he must needs be subject, not only for wrath, their anger, the fear of getting in trouble, but for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. That means pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Go back with me if you would. Well, actually don't. Go to Acts 23. I'll just throw this one out there to you for the sake of time. According to the book of Matthew, Mark and Luke, the Lord told you three times to pay your taxes. Funny to me who's asking him. The religious people. He says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and God's God's. He's saying, pay your tithes and pay your taxes. No excuses. Acts chapter 23, look at verse 5. Then said Paul, I wist not that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Why do you say that to him? Because the high priest in verse number 2 commanded them to smite him in the mouth. And Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law. The high priest was 100% dead wrong. Dead wrong. And Paul had it, and Paul had Bible on it. And he said, hey, you whited wall. And they said, you speaking to the high priest that way? And he said, I'm sorry. God said I'm not supposed to talk bad against the authority that way. I stand corrected. He dropped the fact that he had a biblical right to rebuke him and said, yeah, but I crossed the Bible when I spoke evil of him. That's pretty tough, ain't it? You don't like to hear that. You're Americans. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Don't worry. We haven't even got to the controversial part yet. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Back up to verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness, watch it, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. You see that? You guys turn on the TV lately? The conservative Roman Catholic Fox News? All they do is rail against the dignities. God says you're not supposed to do that. Even the people with the right position are wrong in their approach. That's not all. Go to the book of Jude. Look at verse 9. Ha. I always say Jude chapter 1. Thank you, brother. Jude verse 9. Watch this one. I don't know how you're going to get out of this one. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. How about that? So what I'm trying to tell you is, when it comes to the powers, you got to submit to them. You got to obey them. You shouldn't be bad-mouthing them. You're commanded to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if the government starts passing laws that tell you to disobey the Bible, you have to obey the government? Let me show you the Bible on it. Go back to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Look at verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. When they're told not to preach, when they're told not to preach the gospel, not to obey God, their response was, when you tell me to disobey God, I tell you to go fly a kite. See what it is? Michael the archangel said, I'm submitted to the name of the Lord. So the Lord rebuke you, Lucifer. So if the government comes in and says you can't preach against homosexuality, we say we ought to obey God rather than men. Open your Bible to the book of Genesis chapter 13 and verse number 13, and I'm going to show you what a sodomite is according to God, what sinners are according to God. Yeah. And that it's an abomination in the eyes of God. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So here's the question that then we have to ask ourselves, and I want to wrap up tonight with a warning to you, because I think these young people need it. Listen, I don't think what I'm going to give you is anything that most of you have, I'll be willing to bet, I hope none of you have a problem with it. Yeah. Not one of you. That's what I would hope and pray. And I would assume that I'm preaching to the choir tonight. But I'll tell you this much, you got a lot of young people in this church and they don't get much of this from me as a preacher. So here's what you got. Now you got a wicked government, no question about that, that's going against Israel, no question about that. God's going to judge the nation for it. And you've got all the way down through this nation, let me ask you a question. Is it legal? I'm not saying right before God. Is it legal to commit adultery? Is that against the law? Will you go to jail for committing adultery? No. Is it legal to abort a baby? Yeah. You're not going against the law to do it. Is it legal to drink alcohol if you're over 21? Is it legal to smoke cigarettes? Are any of those things right before God? Is it becoming legal for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman? Is it legal for you to go ahead? Do you know all those laws were set in place and I just named a bunch of things that used to be against the law? Yeah. Did you know that?
That's why I hesitated.
It used to be against the law.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they were trying to do what was best for the people.
Yeah.
They were ministers of God to try to set up for you rules, regulations, and boundaries that would keep you safe. And you know what you got nowadays? You got a ever corrupted, fast falling away from God, rebelling against God government. And they're legalizing everything. So here's the reason I want to get to this piece of it tonight. Now they're legalizing marijuana. More and more. I remember not even 10 years ago having debates with saved people in church, and now these kids are all in public schools, and I don't care where you put your kids. Some of the weirdest, most whacked out people I've ever seen are homeschoolers. Okay? And if you think God wants you to homeschool, we do. So good for you. I don't care. And if you want to pay to put them in Christian school, that's between you, your wife, and God. And if you want to put them in public school, I'm not picking a bone with you. I have no fight to pick with you over that. I could care less. My kids have been all of the above, homeschooled, Christian school, and public school. And all of them have their benefits and drawbacks for the child's character, discipline, and upbringing. And the stinking kids make whatever choice they want to make anyways. But now you got kids younger and younger and younger and younger and younger and younger being introduced to marijuana.
Yeah.
And now when I was a kid, 10 years ago, I had debates with saved people over medical marijuana. And it's for my health because it's good for you. And I'm like, that's not going anywhere good, and I don't think that's really the reason you need it. Because I'm 100% sure there's a lot of other ways to address the issues that whatever your medical marijuana is doing for you, I'm 100% sure that there's other ways to address the same issue. And sure enough, I was right, because the same individual winds up, you know, getting pills illegally and all the rest of that stuff, addicted to all kinds of drugs. Oh, but it's not a gateway drug. It's legal. That's the argument now. The argument now is, well, it's legal for Christians, you know? So it's like, well, it's, you know, it's not against the law. Listen to me. Marijuana is a psychoactive drug. There are 70 different psychoactive compounds in marijuana. That means it affects your brain. Now, there's a lot to say about the health sides of marijuana that I'll probably mention a couple of those in a little bit. But this is pertinent to Revelation where we're at, because as you get to the end times, there's a spike in increase in sorcery, in witchcraft. And there's a connection between witchcraft and drugs. Now they're introducing these mushrooms. Well, they're natural, man. That doesn't mean you should ingest it. There's a lot of things that are natural that you have no business ingesting. That's the lamest argument I ever heard in my life. And it's mushrooms and it's other psychedelics. But listen, marijuana is not a gateway drug. You say what you want. I don't know very many people that started with heroin. And now you got people of all generations smoking marijuana, and the studies have proven it, the marijuana of today is nothing like the marijuana of the 70s, 80s, or 90s. 10 times more potent. and it's messing with their brains and it's messing with their minds. But what I'm more worried about than your health, because trust me, the studies are so biased. You haven't done the research if you don't know what I'm talking about. You know what neurobiologists say? Well, we have a lot of work to do on marijuana and its effects on the brain and health and lungs and the carcinogens. They're saying that there's carcinogens in there equal to the effects of a cigarette. Oh, but we're going to preach against smoking. Well, smoking doesn't have psychoactive effects on your brain. Listen to me, you saved people. Listen to me, you kids. You better worry. You better be scared out of your cotton-picking mind to do anything to your mind that'll open you up to demonic influence. And I'm telling you right now, when you start dabbling around with drugs and taking mushrooms and smoking marijuana and any of the rest of that stuff, you are asking for the devil to come in and possess your life and wreck you. Drugs were and are reported to enhance religious experiences. The loftiest aim of the cultic use of drugs is the pure delight in which is described as a direct experience of God, ultimate reality, the spirits that preside over one's destiny, or whatever the worshiper may conceive as his object of worship. As a consequence of such worship experience, there may ensue a feeling of self-transcendence, sometimes through a melting away of the ego boundaries, with consequent loss of sense of self, and even through the terror of death resulting in psychological rebirth that gives a feeling of power and freedom and releases creative energies. As a means of appropriating such experiences, the rites surrounding the assimilation of drugs become the types of sacraments, means of salvation, in which the qualities and gifts of the gods are appropriated. The visions, self-knowledge, energy, power, and direction reported to be secured from the rite confirm the feeling of the worshiper that he is in the presence of God or has assimilated some of God's powers. Other specific skills and benefits, either real or the products of fancy, may be extrapolated from the alleged encounter with the gods, such as sexual attractiveness, skill and luck in hunting, protection in war, or even the ability to transcend war and love one's enemies. Psychedelic drugs produce nausea and consequent vomiting may be looked on as the purging of faults. For the priest or shaman may be the one who principally ingests the drug and mediates benefits, real or supposed, to the worshiper or suppliant. Such is the case when the healing is the chief function. Mediation is also likely to occur when divination of the answers to important questions are involved, i.e. whether to set out on a journey or whether to find lost property. Saying, in other words, a lot of people in their religious experiences go to the shaman to give them answers, and what he does is he does drugs for them to get the answers because he tunes into the gods through smoking the dope or through the psychedelics or the mushrooms, and he can communicate messages from God to people. And then the worshipers also participate in the, you're going to tell me that's okay. You're going to tell me you can use that for just, you know, for recreational purposes. Sure. They're opening up to spirits and they're seeing things. It's a psychoactive compound. You have little, I think they're actually called like cannibal receptors in your brain. And what happens is there's chemicals in your body that God designed to connect to those receptors in your brain. When you smoke that dope, you flood that brain with 1,000 times more than what God intends it to have. You know what that does to your brain? That makes it stop responding to the natural chemicals in your body. Because the receptors are so overactivated by getting hit with all that psychoactive compounds. What they're doing is they're tuning into you the way God created you, and they're figuring out stuff about your body, and then the devil uses that stuff to open up doors and put you to a level that goes beyond the norm. It's scary. Witchcraft and magic. Some pharmacological cults do not rise much above the level of witchcraft, with ceremonies expressing the participants' insecurities, anxieties, and hostilities. Synchronistic cult in which the primitive magical beliefs are interwoven with minimal Roman Catholic features. Psychological goals. Psychedelic mind manifesting suggests a vast amount of material, feelings, images released from the drugs through the subconscious. I could go on and on and on and on. Presumed ceremonial use of cannabis among the Scythians in the 5th to 2nd century BCE is suggested by the censures for burning hemp seeds frozen in the found in the frozen tombs. On and on and on and on and on this stuff goes. It runs back for centuries in witchcraft. You know what the Bible is telling you? The sorcerers are going to wind up in hell. Oh, how do you tune into sorcery? You make potions. You find stuff out in the woods. You find weeds. You find mushrooms. You find roots. You boil the stuff. I've seen them do it in Haiti. I've seen them the witches sit over their pot and boil that stuff. I've seen the little girl sitting out on the street like this, puking her guts out because she got poisoned by the witch who said, don't go to those missionaries. Don't go to the listen to those white preachers from America preach. What are you going to do? She's like, I'll be there tonight. You know, she's using drugs. Oh, man, it's all right. Everybody's doing it. It's no big deal. Yeah, it's no big deal because it's everywhere now. And you see what's happened to this culture of these kids. Folks, I could go on and on about the religious stuff that's out there. It's disgusting. It's wicked as hell. I mean, the Rastafarians are one of the leaders of this thing. They really believe that this stuff contacts them with the gods. And I got paper after paper after paper. It's almost in all the religions. Yeah. Rastafarians first claimed the cannabis to be sacred. Rastafarians see cannabis as a sacred and deeply beneficial plant that is the tree of life mentioned in the Bible in Revelation 22:2. The herb is for the healing of the nations. They sit around and smoke it and have reasoning sessions. They see the use of cannabis bringing them closer to God, allowing the user to penetrate the truths of things more clearly. Man, I just understand stuff when I smoke it. I've had them tell me, man, when I smoke weed and read my Bible, man, you wouldn't believe the stuff that's popping out at me. Yeah, the devil. You think the Spirit of God speaking to you that way? Other spirits speak to their worshipers through this stuff. Don't you even think about opening up a dispensary, no matter whether they're legal in Michigan or not, and think you're going to be in good standing with this church. No way! I care too much about these kids. Now, I could go on and on, but I'm going to actually stop here because I want you to know a little bit about the health side of it. So I'm trying to make the point to you. That stuff is used in worshiping the devil and in all kinds of false religions with evil spirits connected to it. You got no business as a Christian smoking weed. Edibles, lotions, all the stuff is known to have an impact on your mind and mess you up. Data and statistics, marijuana and public health. Marijuana use directly affects the brain, specifically the parts of the brain responsible for memory, learning, attention, decision-making, coordination, emotion, and reaction time. Infants, children, and teens who still have developing brains are especially susceptible to the adverse effects of marijuana. Long-term or frequent marijuana use has been linked to risk of psychosis and schizophrenia. I wonder how much it has a link to Alzheimer's, dementia. Oh, babies that are born with it can be born seriously messed up. And I'm not telling you that there's not some purported health benefits. I will tell you this, that the honest truth, when they actually dig down into the stuff, they tell you they don't really know because the studies haven't really been done. I actually recently read a study about bodybuilders. They took a group of bodybuilders that had a placebo and a group of bodybuilders they gave anabolic steroids. And they told the group with the placebo, they said, you're on anabolics. And they told the group on the anabolics, I think the opposite. And so what they did is the guys that thought they were being shot up with anabolics went in the gym and they were just crushing it. And the guys that were on the placebo gained almost as much weight, almost as much muscle mass in a short window of time. Now listen to me clearly. I'm gonna give you the full thing here. In a short window of time, they gained almost as much muscle mass as the guys on the real thing. Now, if they'd have had the study run longer, the guys on the real thing would have got bigger. Because the steroids just simply help you recover. You understand that? They don't actually just make you big. You got that, right? And while they help you recover, they destroy your body in many, many ways. By the way, gentlemen, boys, just so you know, there's specific cancers that you can get from smoking marijuana that you don't want. Now, moving on. The guys that thought they were on the steroids were putting on muscle because they were going in the gym under the placebo going, I feel great, man. I'm on roids. It was all in their head. What I'm trying to tell you is marijuana might take the edge off your pain, but it's probably not healing as many things and bringing as much inflammation, de-inflammation to your body and all the rest of that stuff as you think it is. There's probably other ways to get the same thing done. Teens. Marijuana use may have permanent effects on the developing brain. This is specifically under teens. When they begin use in adolescence, especially with regular or heavy use. Compared with teens who do not use marijuana, teens who use marijuana are more likely to quit high school and not get a college degree. Marijuana use in the teen brain. The teen brain is actively developing and continues to develop until around 25. Marijuana use during adolescence and young adulthood may harm the developing brain, gives them difficulty thinking and problem solving, problems with memory and learning, reduced coordination, difficulty maintaining attention, and problems with school and social life, increased mental health issues. I could go on and on and on, but I don't want to tonight. I want to get you out of here. We'll let you go. People who use marijuana are more likely to develop temporary psychosis, not knowing what's real, hallucinations, and paranoia. This is Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm not giving you some guy's blog. They're more likely to develop temporary psychosis, not knowing what's real, hallucinations, and paranoia, and long-lasting mental disorders, including schizophrenia, a type of mental illness where people see or hear things that are not really there. The association between marijuana and schizophrenia is stronger in people who start using marijuana at an earlier age and use marijuana more frequently. Lung health, heart health, brain health, addiction. Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Saying people are getting addicted to it. The marijuana of today is not the same marijuana of 20 or 30 years ago. They boiled the frog, folks. They're getting you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. They're bringing you to the end times. There's more demonic activity going on in the world, more witchcraft and sorcery going on in the world, and we're raising our kids on it without even letting them know it. And then we're putting flashing images and blue lights and weird stuff in front of them. You guys know it. You know you smoke that stuff and see stuff on a movie you didn't see before. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You think that's godly? Not a chance. You kids, somebody at school offers you dope, you get away from it. You get as far away from it as you can. You tell them, no, I don't do that stuff. It ain't cool to be a burnout. It ain't cool to smoke that junk. And when you don't even know what you're messing with. You know what God gave you? Here's the argument. Well, you know, people take, you know, painkillers from the pharmacy, from the doctor. God put a government there for your well-being. Oh, big pharma. The government puts checks and balances on all that stuff. You know why it's so hard for you to buy a house now? Because in 2008, loan officers were giving people houses that without even checking and confirming their employment. So they're selling them a house way more than what they could afford. People were buying the house, never making one payment because they knew the government couldn't throw them out for 18 months or whatever it was. So you know what happened? They come in and they say, okay, now here's a bunch of regulations over the housing industry to make sure we don't crash the whole economy again. I can't believe you got all my personal information. Oh, the government. They're there for your good. Big pharma. Don't you know the government's there to keep them in check? You know why they don't give you more when you run out too early? Because it's all about the money. If it was all about the money, they'd say, how much more do you want? Yeah. They say, no, we cannot give you more because if we do, we're going to get in trouble with the government, the minister of God, to keep you on balance. They actually have this stuff studied. They give you the list of possible side effects to watch out for and to know what they are. And by the way, a lot of times those side effects are a minute piece of the population because they've done the work and getting that stuff ready and balancing the stuff, and then everybody's like, oh, don't take that, don't take that, just eat more spinach, it's going to solve the problem. Yeah, maybe in some cases preventively. But there's other times you got to take the medication and you go through the proper channel, because God put the government authorities there to say, here's how to titrate this so you can do it sanely. Here's how much you're allowed to have so it doesn't wreck your life. No, we're not going to give you more. But everybody sees that, the conspiracy theory side of everything. Nobody sees the biblical side of it. So now you got marijuana. You know why the government legalized that? That's exactly why. They couldn't control it. They couldn't stop it. The war on drugs failed. And they said, well, we might as well get in on it. They haven't done the studies. They don't know what you're getting. You know, the crossbreeding and the cross-pollination, all that stuff that's going on with the marijuana now, there's multiple different kinds. Some's downers, some's uppers. Some affects just the brain. Some affects the whole body. Definitely impairs driving. Definitely psychoactive and messes with your mind and opens you up to the devil. I don't care if the government made it legal. As a Christian, you got no business touching it. Now, I asked Dan, he's gonna wrap us up tonight, but Dan's run some calls here, even recently, specifically about people smoking marijuana, nothing else in their system. So he's going to take a couple minutes and come tell some of these. I want the kids to hear his stories, and I'm not going to try to tell them because they're not my stories. But I want Dan to come and just give them what you got. Come on.